Hey all, thanks again for joining us on The Mind of a Skeptical Leftist. I've got another great interview for you this time around. This time I'm talking to Dietrich von Doom, who is one of my favorite people to follow on Facebook. He's the kind of guy people tag in when they're dealing with trolls because he's smart, witty, and he's absolutely brutal. that's also why he's often in Facebook jail. In this episode, we talk about a bunch of stuff, but I think one of the most important takeaways is for anyone who isn't a Satanist or doesn't know anything about Satanism. Dietrich is a Satanist, and while that doesn't mean that he worships Satan, it does inform the way he views the world, and it is very interesting. I think, and maybe you'll agree, that Satanism definitely seems very compatible with a progressive, or in my even view, an anarchist worldview. Other than that, I don't really have anything to say this time around. I just want to make sure to thank all my patrons, and recently all the people who have supported me a little bit extra because I'm going through, some tough financial times. So that's Lisa, Damien, Chippy, John, and Jeremiah all sent me a little bit of extra money this week because, they are generous and I am in, I'm struggling. So they felt, that they could help and I really, really appreciate it. They deserve all my heartfelt thanks and, all the good vibes that I can send. Thank you so much. With that, if you want to help me ease my financial struggles, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/skepticalleftist. Or you can send a one-time donation at buymeacoffee.com/skepticallefty. I know I'm not the only one struggling these days, so I'm going to look for and add some links in the show notes that you can send money to if you want to help people that aren't me. Another thing that really helps is if you share the show, hit the like button, make sure to subscribe and do all that special stuff. Hit that little bell or whatever on YouTube so that you get a notification every time there's a new episode. And, give me 5 stars on any podcast apps or review sites that you use. And yeah, with that, on to the interview. Hi, and welcome to The Mind of a Skeptical Leftist, the podcast where we spread critical thinking, progressive politics, and left-wing philosophy by talking to a variety of people. And today I'm joined by Dietrich von Doom. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So, I guess the first thing to start is, what's a little bit about you?
Oh, well, a little bit about me. I am the a co-founder and co-head of Satanic Louisville. I am a assistant state director representing Louisville for American Atheists. Resident shit poster constantly in Facebook jail. Yeah.
right on. So, I want to ask about American Atheists and all that stuff, but first, this is a very political show. That's kind of the point. So what is your political, persuasion?
Man, it's been a journey. Let me tell you, since 2016, I describe myself as a liberal, you know, you know, so like 2016, I was more left than, and you know, I'm just been, it's like I said, I've been a while. So like I was on tiptoeing the leftist spectrum, you know?
Right.
And then the more shit happened, the more fired up that I became. And I got radicalized, summer of 2018. That's when locally I guess nationwide we had the Occupy ICE camps going on. You know, there was had one in Sacramento, had one in Portland, of course. We had one in Louisville, lasted 3.5 weeks or so like that. So
nice.
Being volunteering time to the Occupy camp, it really opened my eyes. I mean, it was night and day. Yeah. And so from then I was like, yeah, I'm a socialist and I'm an anarchist, baby.
Nice. Well, we love anarchists here. I kind of joke because, left unity is considered like a joke, right? By anarchists, but I have friends who are Marxist Leninists and I have friends who are Trotskyists. So I try to be cool.
You know? Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I'm like, you know, because I'm like, oh, man, fucking tankies. But at the same time, I'm like, man, okay, look. I don't, because a lot of these discussions, like, people go so hard between the whole anarchist or Trotskyist or Marxist thing. And like, these are discussions we can have over fucking beer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Am I allowed to?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I love my sentence enhancers. Like, there's these big hardcore fights over these things. I'm like, we could just discuss it. Like, at the end of the day, I don't care how people get their bread. I just want them to get their bread. You know what I'm saying? Right. All these discussions about distribution and, you know, organization, like, we can agree on a whole lot of things, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a long way to go before we can literally abolish the state. So
right.
Let's not, you know, maybe be at each other's throats too early.
Right. Because, I mean, the fash are lockstep.
Yeah.
That's right. One thing. Like, I'm speaking to the crowd here. We all know how they are. You know, you can get 8,000 fascists in the room, and secretly they all want to kill the other 7,999.
Yeah.
But once they get to that point, you know, they're all buddies, you know?
Yeah, I'm exactly. Like, For sure. No, as I said, love an anarchist here. So, how did you get into Satanism?
That's actually been a wild journey as well. I am a child of the Satanic Panic. So like,
right.
I grew up, yeah, man, I grew up with, D&D is guaranteed to send you a L, give you superpowers, which nice. Was like a really weird sell. You know? what else back then?
Are you trying to turn me away from this? Or
right. But like, I'm super going to age myself, like He-Man, Masters of the Universe, or there's only one Master of the Universe, and that's Jesus, you know, all that shit. I grew up with that shit.
Right.
So like, I've had this peripheral sort of acknowledgement that there was Satanism. And like, what really did it was when I was real little, I saw Zena LaVey on Geraldo. That
nice.
Yeah, that special that they had, he had on Satanism. I saw Zena LaVey and I fell in love, man. And I was like, wait a second, I can join this group. And
so this is people that I can actually go and see, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, shit, fast forward 2015 or so. That's when 2014. That's when I really saw like the Satanic Temple come up, and I've seen other satanic groups and things like that. Temple of Angra Manu, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm sitting there evaluating. It's like, you know, what these guys are talking about is shit I already believe in.
Right.
You know, and so I've always been kind of gothy and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, let me see what these people are about. And then when they rolled out the Baphomet statue, I was like, yes,
yeah,
that's yes, cool. These motherfuckers.
No, so, right on.
Yeah, I've been a Satanist since.
Well, I guess for anybody who might not be initiated, what is a Satanist?
Oh, yeah. So a Satanist is the person, they believe that fiat authority should not be something that we bow down to. So like, this is going to appeal to a lot of people on the left persuasion. Like, tons of Satanists are leftists, first and foremost. So we don't believe in fiat authority. We don't believe in just submitting to people, you know, without them explaining, you know, what it is that they're going to do. Everything is consensual as far as our point of view. So like, the Satanist is also godless, but at the same time, many Satanists hold themselves to be the image of whatever sort of God. We hold ourselves as the highest representation of deities that there are. You know, there is no proof of any sort of gods out there. There isn't anything like that. So if this is a reality that we live in, and only we can affect our reality, by default, that makes us gods. But there's many people believe that. I personally don't have a use for gods, external or internal or otherwise. So I just leave it as, I don't believe in a god. There's only one person's gonna that rules my destiny. I'm the only person that can change things for the better for me. And if they make things worse for myself, I have to own up to it. Satanists also, we value beauty. We value truth. We value being wrong and learning from it.
Those all sound like pretty commendable values. Like, very anarchistic.
Right. Yeah. Man, Satan is an anarchist.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I've never considered, like, I've never bothered to be a Satanist, but I'm an atheist and an anarchist, and I always valued kind of the same things that I saw coming out of the Satanist camp, right? Like, it was kind of like, okay, but we're fighting against Christian theocracy. We're fighting against, right, you know, the overstep of other religions.
Right.
So I always appreciated that about the overall thing. I just never got into it as myself.
Well, it's a big S word. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I get asked all the time, why Satanism? Why would you adopt Satan? I'm like, why did Batman choose a bat? You know, just, right. Because it's scary and dark and cool. Like, what else, you know?
Well, yeah, that's right. Why does so much metal music involve Satan stuff? Like, of course, because right, the imagery right, is awesome.
Even if they don't personally, you know, vibe with Satanism, like Tom Araya from Slayer, he is a devout Catholic, but like, listen to their entire discography.
Right, right. You know? Yeah. That's a funny one too, actually, because they use a lot of kind of Nazi symbology sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, yeah, it's, when you're getting into something like Slayer, you have to really sort of, I don't know, because like, they're not overt Nazis or anything. you know,
yeah, it's
maybe not Kerry King, Tom Araya, maybe.
Maybe a little closer. You know,
Jeff Hanneman, definitely. You know? Right. So like, I was a little, in a pretty fucked up place when he died. I was like,
No.
But like, I still fucking bop Rain and Blood.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, it gets me going. It's my coffee.
Yeah, Seasons in the Abyss is still a killer, killer album.
Yeah, not so much the new shit, but you know, they're old.
Yeah, you can't expect them to be great all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the Satanism stuff. What about American Atheists? What got you involved with that?
So around 2014, 2015 or so, like, that's when I really started looking for a community, because I had been an atheist since 2009, and I was initially sort of in the closet about it, and then like, I started being more overt about it. But at the same time, I didn't have a community, and for all I knew, I was the only atheist around. Like, I know there are atheists out there,
right?
You know, but I didn't know any personally in my life. And then I started hanging with Louisville Atheists and Freethinkers. So I discovered them in 2014 and started like dipping my toe out there in 2015. And so what I noticed about atheist community, which turns out to be true nationwide, is that atheists tend to be older white guys.
Yeah. You know?
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm glad that there's this community, but I can't really vibe with it that much, because there's the age gap, there's a racial gap. So like, they're gonna have things that maybe, you know, they won't understand about me. Then there's also like, there's a class gap, because a lot of these guys are loaded.
Yeah,
you know. And so, you know, being out there, I'm like, I felt like I had to be more visible to in the community. So like, I started meeting up with people. My wife and I, we started Tuesday Night Heathens back in 2016, actually Election Day 2016.
Okay.
Because we just wanted some friends together, like-minded, to chill and watch Hillary Clinton win the election.
Oh, yeah. Then, yeah. How'd that go?
Right. Then we realized we weren't drinking enough. And I'm like, you know what? Come back next week. We're going to figure this shit out. So Tuesday Night Heathens was the weekly, which then turned into a twice a week meetup, or twice a month meetup for a younger atheist that are leftist.
Right. So, cool.
You know, so we started out there and it grew and we did pretty well. And then back in 2019, Johnny Pike he's the seat director of American Atheists in Kentucky. Really good, great guy. Him and Brittany, really great people. They're leftists as well.
Cool.
They're like, hey, you know, we like that you're very vocal. We like that you know what you're talking about most of the time. And so like I was invited to step up and be a assistant state director.
That's awesome.
I've been doing it since. Yeah, it's really good. And I love it now because the organizations are starting to realize that there is a problem there's been a problem with, you know, age and race and all that good stuff. And
yeah.
So like we've really started making an effort to be more inclusive, to reach out to more individuals and groups like that. So
that's really, that's really cool. Like, in the 2016, 2015, 2017 range, I was interviewing a bunch of people like, and it seemed apparent that, for communities of color, women, they always had to have LGBT people. They always had to have a separate group for their non-belief, right? Like it was like, we can't be part of this mainstream group because it's white supremacist and it's misogynist and it's like all this other like stuff that's holding it back.
Right. Yeah. And it's just steeped in that the new atheism that started about 9/11, like so much of that shit that we thought was acceptable then just got carried in. And so like the diehards are like, no, why should we like, no, it's Islamophobia is a thing and we shouldn't partake in it, guys.
Stop it.
All right. Somebody take away Dawkins Twitter. Just
fuck. Yes. Take away. Even now we still have like there was an article came out not long ago about the new atheism merging with the far right and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's getting tons of pushback by even like people that you would think are progressive-ish atheists. And it's really odd to me, like that we can't just acknowledge our history, acknowledge the problems with it, and then move on and do something better. But.
Right. Yeah. It's because people don't want to be correct. Oh, they don't want to be. I'm sorry, I'm losing my words here. They want to be right. They want to be correct, but they want to hold on to these things and these ideas of the world and, you know, everyone else be damned, you know,
right, which is,
it's how we end up with, you know, noted biologists, like evolutionary biologists who are super, you know, behind anti-trans, ideas. So I'm like, no, man. You have to keep doing science. Like you can't just, I figured this shit out in 1970 something. And then that's it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people are like that morally, you know, we figured out this question of, you know, do you believe in a God? Is there a God? Like, okay. Well, you keep learning things beyond that because you know,
that's not the entire universe. Yeah, that's right. That's not the answer to the universe.
Like and just because we figured that one out doesn't mean we have to stop asking questions, like actual true questions, not the chuddy kind of jacking off. You know,
right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's but frustrating because I've divorced from the atheist community in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
but it's still really, I don't know. I really feel for people who are still involved in it because it's still so steeped in all this stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, conversations have been had in so many ways, like dealing with it locally is, you know, it's gotten better, but you know, we still have our issues. So like, but you know, they know that me, myself and others within these certain groups, we're not going to stand for it. So like they will expect pushback when pushback is, you know, warranted.
Good.
But yeah, it's like I said, there's such a generational divide within it to where it affects so many other things underlying because of, you know, old ideas are, you know, die hard. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I guess it's kind of along the same lines. What do you think of the atheist, like the IDW types and this now marriage with like far right theocrats?
It's so weird because like right guys like Sam Harris and you know is Dave Rubin, is he an atheist? I forget if
he used to be. I think he said he's not an atheist anymore.
Wow. But like Sam Harris and what was it guys, Dave Smalley.
Oh yeah,
I used to listen to Dave Smalley hardcore.
Yeah, like, I for love sure Dave Smalley.
And then I'm like, ooh, what are you doing, man? And
What's happening here?
right, yeah. And then like again, there's all these ideas that people just don't want to hold on to. And like what did it for me with him is like he this is when like BLM was really getting up and running. He's sitting there like talking down to a black activist, what would MLK think? I'm like, first of all, get him out your fucking mouth. Second, I'm like, yeah. And so
yeah.
Once he realized that the people who are on your team, who are supposedly on your team, like progressives, leftists, you know, people who just aren't dipshits, they're like, they call them out on this shit. And so once the consequence happens, they still need to make money. They still want to make money. And where's the money going to come from?
Yeah, that's
right. They're right. You know, they have the advantage of A, they have home court advantage as far as white supremacy, that the country isn't built on top of it. So right. Like they're right. They're defending, you know, we're attacking. And at the same time, they have the advantage of that's where the money comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so like that's how we end up with all the comedians who are really cool. Who we thought were really cool back in the '90s and shit, early 2000s, you know, they haven't had a stand up, special in like since like 2004, they say something really dipshitty, and all of a sudden they have a Netflix special.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's all aimed towards, you know, these all right chuds because they're the ones with the money.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody actually said on Twitter a while back, like that they couldn't believe how much money was in anti-racist activism, and I was just like, hey, wait a second. Nobody that I know is getting any money from this.
Right. Like, lose. Okay. So 2020 was the closest anyone's ever been to being a paid protester. Like, yeah, we lost our jobs. Right. We have to eat. So we're collecting unemployment. But also, since we have the money, we can go and try to make things better for once.
Yeah, that's right. And,
man.
Yeah.
Soros, I know you're listening, Soros.
Yeah, where's my goddamn right. check?
Right.
Yeah, it's similar to like when you talk about like vaccines or whatever, and then you get people saying, "Oh, well, you're a big pharma shill, right?" No, nobody's paying me to be pro-vaccine.
Right. Nobody's. I'm sorry, I want to live. Like, really?
Yeah, that's right. I guess I have 20 patrons. So 20 people are supporting my, my left wing activism. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm not getting rich off it.
Those are big bucks. You need that, the Sackler money donations.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. Silliness. Okay. So I guess one of the things you wanted to talk about, was Project Blitz.
Yeah.
So I guess, what is that?
Yeah. I want everyone to just sort of buckle up and hang with me, because what I'm about to say, it sounds like some conspiracy theory shit. Like, I'm not going to lie, but we have the fucking receipts. We actually have the playbook. So Project Blitz was started back in the mid to late 2000s. And there was an actual meeting between different important people in the conservative Christian realm, conservative Christian circles. So we're talking pastors, we're talking lawmakers who are on the local level. You know, these aren't like big, huge heads or anything like that.
Right.
But they realize that we can affect things nationally if we start locally. And so, through the help of, you know, like-minded politicians and things like that, the idea behind Project Blitz is they were going to coordinate, again, local governments and state governments to inundate their legislatures with overtly religious bills. So like the time when we saw all those anti-abortion bills or the bathroom bills, for example.
Right.
Like, it was like every state was trying to pass one. And
yeah.
Because it was coordinated, because the idea is if we can introduce all these bills rapid fire, the organizations like American Atheists or the I'm sorry, I'm blanking out here. American Atheists and Community of Reason and
Freedom from Religion.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. The FFR, Freedom from Religion Foundation. So all these organizations who watchdog civil rights, everyone's rights, will have to spend so much time and money fighting these bills.
Right.
They fully expect that a lot of those bills aren't going to pass. But by the time it's done, all the organizations and individuals who are on the side of religious, true religious freedom and separation of church and state, we're just going to be too broke, too tired to do anything about the rest.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Zap Brannigan approach to to legislation. We're going to send wave after wave of bills.
And yeah. Right. And again, some of the early ones are going to die, but so.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, again, when I said earlier that they have the advantage of the money, that is not an exaggeration.
Right.
These guys have tens of billions of dollars to just throw at whatever they want. The FFRF team, if I'm not mistaken, they have somewhere around between nine and 11 on staff, like legal lawyers. The just the main organization that's sort of funded by the that takes part in Project Blitz. It's like the American Council of Freedom. I have to look all that shit. I'm so sorry, but just one organization on staff, they have nearly 200. And that's just one organization, just the largest one, you know. And they're doing it. They're doing this stuff a lot of times pro bono, because these are activist lawyers who are saying, you know, we want to spread, you know, Christianity, you know, east to west, north to south. And so they've already, you know, got their money and they've already retired, things like that. So they devote their time to establishing, you know, Gilead.
Right. Yeah. And that's literally where it's going, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, when you talk about some of these, the bills or whatever, that it makes me think of all the anti-abortion stuff. Like, they just, every state puts some bill, anti-abortion bill forward, and, you know, it doesn't matter if it gets the shutdown in the Supreme Court yet or right now or before the Supreme Court, because eventually they'll get there and they've got a conservative majority and eventually it's just going to be anti-abortion is the law.
Right. Yeah. And those abortion bills are part of that Project Blitz. So,
yeah,
you know, again, they tend to work off like templates as well. A lot of one of the ways that you can tell if a particular bill is sponsored by an organization that is part of Project Blitz is to actually look in the wording of the bill itself, because they're almost all identical. They come from a template. And you just insert whatever town you're in, whatever city you're in, or whatever state you're in.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. So like, yeah. So you can pull hundreds of bills across a nation, you know, put them on a slide projector. There will be, you know, perfect lockstep with each other.
Right. The exact same thing, just different towns and different states. That's wild.
And again, I know it sounds crazy, but this is a thing that is, they literally created this in like a smoky room during a rainstorm or something like that. But like, like they got together, they had a secret meeting and they started implementing this plan. And the reason why we know about it is that, they actually put online their literal actual playbook, their minutes from their meetings, as well as like the templates of what they'll do to like insecure websites for them to all go share with each other. Because, you know, the right isn't too particular savvy with shit like that.
Right, right. And but almost they don't care, right? Like they just.
Right, yeah. And right. And again, it's because they have the home court advantage, because, you know, they are trying to define and defend a society that they've already, you know, had for X amount of decades. You know, it's going to be, they can do that. They can be overt with it. They can be overt with it. But, you know, you try to fight back against it, they would throw their full weight against you.
Yeah. And then you have to deal with, like you say, like you're already exhausted from financially and from doing all the work. And then you have to deal with the pushback.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
and so like, yeah, that's, it's insane. So like the organizations involved are, you have the Congressional Prayer Caucus. So they're really big backers of it. There's also the National Legal Foundation. And this is another group that maybe you haven't heard of, the Wall Builders.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
So, yeah. Yeah, because like it sound on the outside, it sort of sounds like, oh, you know, you want to build a wall for church and state, whatever. But no, they're a well, they consider themselves pro-family, but they are.
Which is a red flag too, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yes, because they have like, you know, it's insane.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, I don't know. Is that related to the Netflix documentary, The Family or whatever it was? Or was it, I don't know if it was a documentary or where like they kind of showed that they had handpicked certain men, white men, obviously, who were supposed to go into this group and they were training them up to be the leaders of America. And they had all this religious power behind them and they had connections within the government. And it seemed like a bit of a conspiracy theory, but a lot of people I know were watching it and being like, okay, this particular documentary might be over the top, but a lot of this is true shit. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, we have Matt Shea in, you know, Washington State, who wrote a literal manifesto for what should happen when Christians take over the nation.
Right.
You know, you know, round up the boys and men. If, you know, they don't want to, you know, be part of the religion, you kill, or is he like, you kill all the men first. And then like whoever's left over, you ask them what they want to be. You know, if they're going to submit, then, you know, it's wild. Wow.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, these guys they're not afraid. They, once Trump got in, you know, they saw it as their time.
Right. It's interesting how many far right groups, both religious and non-religious, all thought like, okay, this is the moment. Like Donald Trump, we can do all this stuff. Like,
yeah, and they have this completely warped view of, you know, of history, first and foremost. Because, you know, we know as a statement of fact that the United States is not a Christian nation. It was not founded as a Christian nation. And we know that the quote unquote founding fathers, like at best, the majority of them were deists. They weren't exactly, I believe in Jesus or whatever, but they believed in some sort of higher power.
Right. Right.
You know, but then like out of the literal playbook from Project Blitz, they put in the Christian heritage of our nation is recognized in the writings and accomplishments of such renowned individuals as Christopher Columbus, William Bradford, George Washington, who was a deist, who wasn't a Christian, John and Abigail Adams, who were deists, James Madison, I think he was a Christian, Patrick Henry was a Christian, Andrew Jackson. You have Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln back to back, which is, yeah, then Woodrow Wilson. Like, come on, guys.
It's interesting.
They even threw Harry Truman in, like, their shit, but Harry Truman was absolutely on the side of separation of church and state.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't know any other country than America that reveres the people who founded it quite the same, to quite the same degree as America. Like, they've been bestowed sainthood. And so we project all these things onto them because they're infallible.
Yeah.
Except,
and like,
they're absolutely just people, right?
I mean, have you played BioShock Infinite?
No, I have not.
Oh my. Yeah. So like you're facing off against this, it seems like a Mormon cult or whatever, but they're absolute white supremacists.
Okay.
And they live in the sky, but like they literally worship Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and like Thomas Jefferson. Like, right. They have like, yeah. So like, yeah, you like, when you start the game, you wake up in the city, you're greeted with like these huge sort of like church, whatever. And you walk outside and like this watery garden are these three statues of them, but like they're buff and like wearing togas and shit. And I'm like, wow. And like,
that's what's happening.
Like, yeah. So like you're fighting against old timey fascists, like Christian fascists.
Yeah.
The whole time. Like, and there's like so much of this stuff. Like, they'll nod to history. And I'm like, yep, this tracks. But then I'm disappointed because they end up making you a centrist by the third act.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
You're like, wait, the people who are fighting back against the tyranny are also tyrannous. I'm like, no.
That's not how that works.
Right. Oh, well.
I guess they had to still sell the video game in society, right?
Right, yeah. They had to do that safe centrist play.
Yeah, that's right. Foes and comrades, for your foe, you have the Boogaloo Boys. So I know,
oh my God.
I know who the Boogaloo Boys are, sort of, because I follow a lot of that stuff. But for anybody who's listening who might not know, what's a Boogaloo Boy?
So your Boogaloo Boys are, it's sort of this loose association of men who at what they're really wanting is for they're not reactionary. What is the word that I'm searching for? They are accelerationists. That's what I'm searching for. So like what they really want is a second civil war. Then that's there. It's referenced by the Boogaloo. They call it the Boogaloo. So okay. Yeah, break out to, you know, electric Boogaloo. Right. So like, yeah. So, and they're really wanting a final showdown. Between themselves, between the police, military, and the end point isn't really like what they're aiming towards is never really established.
They just want that civil war.
They just really want that civil war.
Wow!
But the problem is that you can get, because of that ambiguity, like some leftists end up rolling with those guys.
No, geez,
but like. A good chunk of those dudes are 100% Nazis.
Right.
And the end result for them is a white ethno state. You know, so like they figured out if you just be vague enough, oh, you know, we're anti-cop. We're pro, you know, protection. We, oh, yeah, well, okay. That's not too bad. But no, they want that battle and they don't care who gets in between that. So like, they found their ways. They've tried really hard to like ingratiate themselves with the protests of last year. That was like their big sort of recruitment push. So like we had guys showing up with their, you know, they're wearing their body armor. They're wearing their luau shirts.
The Hawaiian shirts.
I recognize the Boogaloo. They'll wear the Hawaiian luau shirts. Sometimes khaki shorts, things like that, you know, and I've seen guys like straw hats and shit like that. Like they're wearing that, but then like they're wearing a fucking plate carrier and they've got an AR-10 on them.
Fuck.
You know? Yeah. And so, you know, they'll stand up for people and they'll say things like, Jeremiah Walker, Breonna Taylor's, boyfriend who shot back at the police. They'll say that he's a hero because he shot back at police, but they'll also throw in the same the same camp as like the one guy who the white supremacist who shot those other two cops and then wrote Boog in blood on the hood of the car. So like a lot of these guys, again, they want the destabilization to happen because they want that white ethno state. They want to be able to go in the Pacific Northwest or whatever that five state protocol, whatever they wanted going.
Okay.
It's wild. But again, like what really sets them apart, what really like pisses me off about them is the fact that they're willing to pretend and put Black lives on the line in front of them.
Of course.
Because they just want to shoot cops.
Yeah.
Which I mean, fuck the police day and night, but still you're putting innocent people in danger, even if you're not on that far right side of it.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
Again, like a lot of leftists get wrapped up in this shit, not knowing what they're doing, not doing the vetting that they should do, you know? And so.
Yeah, that's really wild. Like, it wasn't that long ago, like supposed leftist Jimmy Dore had a Boogaloo boy on his show and he was trying to defend him as though he was like a leftist. So I don't know, maybe did the guy like. Was he an actual leftist and he just was mixed up in the Boogaloo Boys? Or was he like a fash, like parading, like masquerading as a leftist?
That particular guy, I was trying to find his name, but I'm pretty sure he is fash. you know, but yeah, Jimmy Dore, he doesn't.
He's not a smart guy.
He's not. But yeah, and like you'll have these guys who they'll talk a big game about being on the left, but then you look into them, or you don't have to look hard at all. Find like there's one guy locally who, you know, he was, oh, you know, this guy's cool. He's gonna protect us. He's got a black girlfriend, you know, but he found out he was beating the shit out of her. Well, and gee, yeah. He was connected to the guys in what was it, Michigan? Governor Whitmer.
Okay.
Yeah, he had ties to the boog pieces of shit who were gonna try to kidnap her and ransom her or whatever they're gonna do.
So yeah, definitely not a cool guy.
Oh yeah, no. Like a lot of these guys they have those connections with, you know, far right militias, and like some of them have connections like trying to get in with ISIL, with ISIS and shit like that, you know? The kid who was in Britain trying to get recruited by ISIS or whatever, you know, he had ties to Boog, and that guy lived here in my city. Okay. You know, he's from Louisville.
Wow.
So like, yeah. So, it's been so wild just dealing with these guys, because they're there and they give the veneer of I'm here to protect you. People just don't realize it. They don't bother to look beyond that. And I'm like, no, you guys got to look into these dudes. Do not just, you know, let them in your circles just because they say they're there. And like, not everyone who says they're for us are for us.
Yeah. That's something that like a lot of leftist, people like have been talking about, like OPSEC or like, like you have to be super careful about not just what you're saying online or what you're saying in your planning, but also who you're even letting into your circles.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause, a lot of these guys also turns out they were FBI informants.
Right.
Like you're hearing left and right. So many of these guys turn out to be informants. And like, how do these people still have friends at this point?
Well, yeah, like, that's right.
It's amazing. But like, yeah, we've had people who were brought up, you found, you know, dug into, it's like, oh, this guy, he's facing, you know, federal weapons charge. Oh yeah. So why is he out walking the street? You know, right. This right, if he's got, you know, federal weapons charge against him, he shouldn't be standing here with a fucking Kel-Tec.
Yeah, you know, like
this guy snitching on people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he it's really funny that they think they could just get away with that and nobody would notice, right? Like, yeah, if you have federal weapons charges, then you probably aren't supposed to be carrying a gun out here in the street.
Right, yeah. It's this idea because, like, when you put yourself as above everyone else, you're not gonna think that there's someone out there smarter than you.
I suppose.
You know, if you're the master race,
yeah.
Yeah, everyone else, you know, yeah. Right, they never think that far. Like, no, we're smart. we're watching you, Simon. Yeah,
no shit, eh? Ugh.
Man, but no, it's fucking Boog. Because again, they're putting everybody in danger, not right. Just black people or queer people, like your white buddies. You know, they got you in danger, man. If you ever next one, right? They've got their trigger finger so itchy too. It's
yeah. That's it's a big enough problem to have the right being so vocal and being so violent, but then to have them like pretending to be on the side of the people, you know, in struggle, it's I don't know, it's a real problem. I mean, I kind of jokes about how silly it is, but it's a real problem. I mean,
if you don't laugh, you'll cry. That's
yeah, that's about it. Like, I hope people can be just be careful, right?
Right. Yeah. It's there's no real like grasp of historical context to anything that they do. You know, those of us who study history, you know, we saw this shit coming in 2016, 2015.
Right.
I don't know. I guarantee people, well, I don't know. If you're not familiar with Robert Evans.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Beyond the Bastards. Yeah.
I have had him on the show, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah, man. I love the guy. Yeah. He has the miniseries that was, It Can't Happen Here.
Yeah.
Or It Can Happen Here. And it laid out, he wrote it, he produced it in what, 2019?
Yeah.
And then I didn't start listening to it until last year.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, holy shit, this guy predicted the future. Like, he locks up what was going on, right, how things would happen. And I'm like, yeah, we need to fucking put the brakes on this train, man.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Robert Evans also did a really good series with a bunch of activists from Portland on the Uprising, which is like another great podcast series related.
Yeah, Behind the Insurrection.
Yeah, that's another one too.
he had a different one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it was called The Uprising, and it was from Portland. So, okay. So that's your foe. What about your comrade? You have Louisville Clinic Escorts?
Yeah. Louisville Clinic Escorts. They're fighting the good fight, been have since, what, the 80s, providing safe transport, like safe protection of people who seeking abortions from the radical right who show up to protest all the time. And things have gotten physical with them. They've had some of them, like, right literal in their face, holding things in their face, but because they're not actually hitting them, it's okay. But right there in their face with whatever.
How does law enforcement, I mean, I guess they just make excuses for whoever they want, but it seems so blatantly obvious. Like, a hand in my face is the same as, like, pushing me, and you know, that's the same thing. So,
yeah, I mean, and it's gotten to, they've pushed, they've shoved, they've bumped into each other. They had one of their older members fake being attacked and, like, was videoed on the ground writhing, oh, this is broken, this is hurting, you know, and, you know, taking pictures from the hospital. They were out the same day.
Right.
You know, it, so, like, it's, they're constantly facing this battle. But they're out there every Saturday, every Tuesday, whenever, specifically Saturday mornings. They're up at there at 6 a.m. out there, you know, just defending the community. It's community, literal community defense is what they're doing.
That's awesome.
But, like, their bodies are on the line. Like, they know at any time someone can come up there and do some real serious shit. And
is there like a lot of access to abortion in Louisville?
Louisville, yes. Kentucky, no.
Oh, okay.
Kentucky is one of the states with the fewest abortion providers. We went up when Andy Beshear, early last year, actually, he doubled the number of abortion access in Kentucky from 1 to 2.
Oh, boy.
And they're both in Louisville. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're in, like, what, Hazard, Pike County, you know, if you're out in the sticks,
you got to drive.
A 2-3 hour drive. Yeah.
Wow. So then it's also easy for these religious anti-abortion people to find where to go, because there's only two spots, right?
Right. There's only two spots. The main one that's been the focus was on is the EMW clinic, which is on Jefferson Street.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not Jefferson Street. It's on Market Street, which is like a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I am now.
Oh, sorry.
And so, yeah. And so, like, when I worked third shift on Saturdays, I would, every morning, I'd be able to just drive right by and see them out there. You know, you have the jackasses with their big bull horns and their signs and shit. But you saw these people just standing there, you know, row to row, you know, not letting anyone, you know, touch these people who are coming up to get receive care. Yeah. And but occasionally you have it where people have been intercepted, you know, they're surrounded and, like, they're packed in tight so they can't move on the sidewalk. So, like, they're literally, you know, breaking the law one by taking up that sidewalk and not letting people pass. But, right, like, isn't that technically kidnapping if you're surrounding someone and you're not going to let them leave?
It's certainly whatever, like, unlawful detention of some sort, right?
Yeah, it's like something like, but, like, they've done this so many times. And, you know, the police are ambivalent at best, if not outright aiding these people.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Another reason why the cops are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my hat's off to those clinic defenders.
No kidding.
Those, the escorts. So yeah, if I wish I had a link for them because they can always use donations. They help transport people when they need it. These guys are truly doing the Dark Lord's work out there.
I will. I'll look for links and see what I can find for when this is released. Because yeah, it's. I don't know. You want to see people who are performing community defense and mutual aid. You want to see them supported, right? So
yeah, because it's going to be like this fight is going to be on the local level. This is going to be grassroots. You know, we've had some of the big major like national groups just drop the ball completely.
Yeah,
and are forsaking the more grassroots and local. Setups because that's just not where the money is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not going to get better right now, is it? Like the way that,
Oh no, because we can go to brunch again.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's over. Yeah. You know, Trump's gone. We've got our shots.
Right.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Somehow it's all good now.
Right. Yeah. You know, people, they just grow. Like when you're comfortable, you know, you tend to forget a lot of shit, you know, but a lot of people and all of us out here, we haven't gotten to that comfort level at all because, you know, the fucking state, you know, but,
yeah, no, that's right. It's one of those arguments that people use against some of these government, support systems is because mm-hmm. if we get comfortable, then we'll stop fighting for change and whatever, but also,
yeah.
I mean, a UBI would be great.
Yeah.
A lot of people need it.
Right. And it's not about, you know, those of us who are doing the fighting, who are, you know, really trying to do something for community is, you know, we're comfortable. We just want to be able to pay our bills, you know?
Yeah, that's right. I just don't want my power shut off.
Right. Yeah. That's that because they make a big deal of that $300, $600 a week. I'm like, no, I was able to fix my car, which meant I was able to go like get people back and forth through checkpoints where they set up on the National Guard and shit like that. You know, we were out there, you know, trying to get people around the city. Hey, you know, cops are coming. We need to get you somewhere, you know? And so, no, when people have something, when we're not like struggling, when we're not, you know, trying to just scrape by, we can make that change happen. Yeah. You know, that was like when, like last year, that energy from last year, that especially the March, April, May, like, well, May, June, July energy, my God, I wish we would have kept that going.
Yeah, it was even something that people were saying as it was still happening is like, we got to keep this going. I think too often these things do die out though as soon as the white middle class stops watching it on the news, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, and again, like it was a combination of that and there was talk of we were going to get the vaccine. That was what, September?
Right.
We were talking about yeah, so like you know not too many people were starting to pay attention anymore. And then you know that $600 hit, they stopped you know, hidden. So like a lot of people just had to scramble for work once again. So like,
yeah,
there's just so many ways. So it's like a death of a thousand cuts to that energy.
Yeah. Like, in Toronto for a good part of last year, there was like talk of like rent strikes and like, tenant strikes all over the city where, you know, landlords, you're just not getting paid and you're not going to get to evict people because we're all banding together. And that's just disappeared too. Like
yeah.
As soon as everybody's, you know, their boss has all called them back to work and they, you know, so now everybody's expected to go back to normal life.
And yeah.
It's, I don't know. Nothing should be normal.
The normal was bad, y'all.
Yeah.
The normal was, you know, dead black men and women in the streets. It was, you know, the foreclosures. That was normal.
Yeah.
The normal was bad. We need a new world. We need to watch you. You're going to get conspiracy theories after I said that.
We need a new world order. We need a great reset.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh gosh. No, it's guys. We cannot get complacent again. We just cannot. I've gotten, I'm guilty of it too. I've gotten my burnout. You know, I was out there pretty much every day for like months.
Right.
And, you know, I've had bullets whizzing past my head. I understand that burnout. Sometimes you're just like, man, I just want to see what's on TV. I just want to, you know, throw a barbecue, you know, feed some people.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just kind of, and then survival hits. So I understand it, but like, we've got to find a way to get that energy back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what always seems to be the thing is it's got to be somebody gets hurt or somebody gets killed.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, and then it fires people up again. But
yeah, because like, we can't have another George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Philando Castillo or Sandra Bland. We can't have another, you know, Mike Brown. We can't have.
Yeah.
It's just lives are too precious. You know, we can't keep relying on black people to throw themselves down on the altar. That's what really pissed me off about when Pelosi said what she said about George Floyd.
I'm right. Like,
he didn't sacrifice himself.
He
was murdered. He was taken from us. That's not a sacrifice, you know?
Yeah. And the nonsense, it's even more nonsense, right? Like he didn't sacrifice himself for justice. Justice was served because and it wasn't even justice. His murderer got a minor, you know, a punishment.
Yeah. There are people in jail for weed for a longer time.
Yeah. Like it's,
you know,
no. Nah. I don't know how to fix America, but it's going to be a tough struggle. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to get hurt before it's done, but
yeah, I don't see that a peaceful way about it.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's something I wanted to ask you about because, I know you are a gun person. Like you have guns, you are a Second Amendment guy. So what do you see happening with this? Is I don't want to say is a violent revolution coming?
Right. Yeah. No, our FBI agents were not at all.
There's no violent revolution.
There is no violent revolution. No such thing. No. I got into it not because I was wanting to, like, I thought that a revolution was on the horizon or anything. My reason for advocating for gun ownership is because the other side have no compunction, reservations at all about, you know, ending our lives. You know, it is, for my stance, is 100% defense.
Yeah.
So, like, I have, you know, a pistol, I have an AR. You know, I'm looking into a shotgun. So, like, my brothers, I've encouraged my brothers and my sisters to go out. They're all armed. Shout out to the Black Gun Coalition, by the way, nice. Jay. My stance is it goes beyond rights, you know, because I don't like saying, like, I'm very much a gun guy, but I hate saying that I'm a Second Amendment guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, we know that the Constitution was really set up to defend certain segments of our population,
true,
not the other one, you know, not others, you know. And so my stance is that we should not have our ability to defend ourselves individually or as a community infringed in any way. Yeah. So, like, I used to be on the stance where, you know, if you're a felon, maybe you shouldn't have a gun. But then, like, I'm looking at all the felons that I know are felons due to circumstance. You know, they got caught with weed, or, you know, they had to steal to live to eat, you know.
Yeah, they're not actually like bad people who don't deserve that.
They're not bad people. Right. Exactly. Like, and there's the idea that, you know, people in prison are like just bad people. Like, no, like, you get like 2-3 out of 100 are like the evil dudes that, you know, I've kind of wrestled with the idea of abolish prisons because, like, I don't want the rapists and the murderers and whites, you know.
Those 2-3 out of 100, that's still bad.
You know? So I'm still, you know, wrestling with that. But, like, I think that people should have, they have a fundamental right and ability to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't really mesh with just getting, you know, restricting that right to anybody. I don't know.
That's fair.
I mean,
Canadian gun culture is a whole different animal than American gun culture. So I grew up in a whole different thing. Right. And, but so I'm still wrestling with just the idea of gun ownership.
Yeah.
But
Cause I don't want the mall shootouts or like the right. theater. You know, I don't want that. And like, I want to figure out how to keep the guns out of those guys' hands.
Yeah.
While still being able to have my own guns. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm still kind of wrestling with that. I'm still wrestling with a lot of things, but like, no, I black people, indigenous people, queer people, like we absolutely have to have our abilities to defend ourselves individually and as communities. Like that's just a need.
Yeah, you know, cause like because like you say, like the other side, they don't give a shit. Like, and they've got tons of guns. And,
right, and the police, you know, they're gonna side with them 9 times out of 10. You know,
yeah.
So like, they took Dylan Roof to Burger King, and I'm like, no, we cannot. I don't know.
And even that, what's his name? That 17-year-old who shot people at the protest in
Rittenhouse.
Yes, Rittenhouse. Yeah, yeah, like even him, like the entire right wing rallied behind him like he was a hero, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's not like, you know, having guns for, you know, the attacked people, the people who have to defend themselves is going to be, you know, they have to be able to defend themselves in some way.
That's yeah.
All there is to it.
Yeah.
All right. Where can people find you and your content?
All right. So you can look me up. I'm mostly on Facebook. Again, I tend to be in Facebook jail, but you can still get at me. Catch me.
You got a couple accounts, right?
But, yeah, I got a couple, yeah. So you can find me, Dietrich Von Doom. Search me there. Also search for Mambutu O'Malley. that's my backup. Don't tell Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Twitter. Again, Dietrich Von Doom. I don't use Twitter as much as I like to or as I need to, but I'm starting to embrace Twitter more. So, again, you can check out my rants and raves. And if you're so inclined, hit me up, shoot me up a DM if you have questions or anything else. So.
And you've got a new TikTok.
Yeah, I got a new TikTok that I posted exactly one video to.
That's awesome.
Everybody should be
on TikTok. It's awesome.
Right, yeah.
Lots of good leftist stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes.
No. Right on. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime at all.
All right. That's all, folks. Thanks for watching and or listening. Remember to share this show with your friends and on the social media site that you use the most. I want to say thank you again to everyone who supports the show on Patreon. It's really appreciated and it helps me spend more time on this and my other projects when I'm not at work so that I don't have to work as many gig hours. If you want to contribute, you can do that at patreon.com/skepticalleftist, or you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/skepticallefty. If you can't contribute financially, then a 5-star rating and a review on your podcast app of choice or one of the podcast review sites like Podchaser would be great. If you want to find more from me, then you can check out the show notes or check my link tree. That's linktr.ee/skepticalcorey. You can find all my social media stuff there, as well as links to my other shows, which includes Skeptarchy, which is a panel show I do with some very smart people, From Many People's Strength, which is a show about Saskatchewan politics, and a new project I'm involved in that's called The Atheist Humanist Leftist Revolutionaries with my friend Damien Marie at Hope. My Twitter is @SkepticalLefty, and my Facebook page is The Mind of a Skeptical Leftist. Or you can send me a friend request, which is facebook.com/CJBrainstorm. I accept most friend requests. You can also email me at mindofaskepticalleftist@gmail.com. And if you want to be a guest on the show or know someone I should reach out to, then feel free to let me know. You can book interviews in my available time slots on my Calendly, which you can find on my link tree. Thanks so much for listening, and let's just all try to be kind to other leftists and to all people. And even if we think they're wrong, the battle that we are fighting is an uphill one and has many obstacles, and we will need all the comrades we can get.